Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, Mr. West! Mr. West!
And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shot like Tim, it's a harder way. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say. Before you ask me to go get a job today, can I at least get a raise on the minimum wage? And I know the government administers aid, so I guess we just pray like the minister say. I'll do Akbar and throw on some hot cars. The things we see on the screen, it's not ours. But these from the hood, so these dreams not far. Where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars. But they can't cop cars without being cop cars. I guess they want us all behind bars. I know it, and I heard them say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And I heard them say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. But we'll find a way.
Good evening. Welcome to Talking Sports Plus. I'm the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And my co-host, and I'm going to introduce them earlier tonight, we're going to be running kind of three on three tonight. We're going to try to run and do it right. Have my first co-host is Coach Lauren D. Smith. Everybody, let's say welcome to him, Lauren.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be with you guys. We have some great topics to talk about tonight. I can't wait to get into them all.
Awesome, awesome. And our other co-host is Coach Tremaine Edwards.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight, fellas and ladies? Listen to the show. Got some hot topics, baby. Let's get them going. Let's get them going, Coach Smith.
Awesome, awesome. And, again, I always thank both of you as well as my other team members being on the show every Wednesday night. The other two team members are traveling and also getting some rest from long hours of work. So, you know, our prayers are with them on the road as well as home getting the rest. And that's Coach Tony Stallworth and Coach of the Airways, Dara E-Train Elliott. Tonight, again, yes, we have some hot topics. Before we get into our hot topics, we want to make sure everybody get the call in number. That's 347-857-4192. And if you want to listen to the show by web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberto Smith Production. And if you want to email us, go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. We're very excited, but before we get into all our topics we have set aside through our coaching corner and just knowledge and excitement about what's transpired since we last was on the show last week, we want to offer our prayers to all of the families, the victim families in South Florida. This happened over in Parkland, Florida, which is about 27 miles from the area that I was staying, which was Sunrise. Had a gunman go in, 17-year-old former student go in and fire on adults as well as students, killing 17 members of that family of Douglas High School. It is indeed a tragedy. This is happening more often than it should. But what we're going to say, we want to offer our prayers on behalf of Talking Sports Plus to those families of the victims that happened today in South Florida. So we want to take just about 10 seconds, take a moment, that we're going to just have a silent prayer for each and every one of them. All right, let's get back with the show. Tonight, co-hosts, we got some very exciting topics that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about some high school playoff, and we're going to start off discussing some of the high school playoff. And I'll kind of jump in here kind of early. Matter of fact, I just left from Alabama State University watching the Central Region of the Alabama High School Athletic Association playoff, and I had an opportunity to kind of catch three games, two in its entirety, and the other just half of it. And we had in the first game, we had Auburn High School. This is Class 6A competing against Enterprise, and Auburn won by 25 points. Then we had Robert E. Lee of Montgomery competing against Auburn High School boys, and the game was nip and tuck all through the process, but Auburn was able to pull it out in the end and win about 5. And then when I left, it was about 3 or 4 minutes ago in the second quarter of the game between Robert E. Lee girls and Central Phoenix City. Robert E. Lee girls was up by 27 points. So we hope that result ended that way for Robert E. Lee because they're a local team here in Montgomery and Central Alabama. But all of these teams is competing. And the nightcap was we had Jefferson Davis High School going against Central Phoenix City boys. So that was exciting in regards to the activity that started. Let's kind of share some thoughts about the high school playoff in the state of Alabama. We have our 7 classes, and each team that win their area in the run-up get a chance to go to the sub-region. And in the sub-region, if the runner-up and the winner win in the sub-region, then they take it and bring it to these 4 designated sites. Alabama State University hosts the Central Region. Dothan City Center hosts the South Region. Jacksonville State University hosts the Northeast Region. And for the Northwest region, you have Wileys of Hanceville up in Hanceville, Alabama. So all of those teams that won in the sub-region get a chance to go and play for another day. Now, if you lose in this region, you don't get that opportunity. So it was exciting the first day of it today. This is the first day of the playoff at the start at those regions. Alabama State was actually the first because of the way the schedule set up where they're playing Alabama State University, actually playing home games on Saturday and Monday, which was put this to start a little earlier than it did for Alabama State University. But we'll move forward. Coach Smith, you have anything you want to share about the high school playoffs in regards to the region and where to go from there?
I had opportunity this afternoon to witness both games of Robert E. Lee boys and Robert E. Lee girls. And unfortunately, Robert E. Lee could not pull off the victory. The boys could not pull off the victory in what I thought should have been a runaway game. But we all know how this goes. When you get to this time of the year, anybody can win on any given day. Everybody's record is 0-0. The worst team can beat the best team. And that's with basketball, and I also had the opportunity to watch a little bit with the first quarter of Robert E. Lee girls. I coached at Robert E. Lee last year. I had no doubt that they would be on the road to Birmingham this year. And they kind of showed a dominant performance today. It was a track meet. It was a massacre as soon as the jump ball went up. Central Phoenix City had no whatsoever chance of beating Robert E. Lee today. It was just that dominant performance. Next couple games we have for Montgomery City Schools, Carver Boys and Girls will both be in Dothan, as well as Sydney Lanier Boys and Girls. So I'm really excited to see that, and I'm really excited to see who could win out their regional and end up in Birmingham from our local teams.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Coach Albert. Do you have anything you want to add to that on that north end of the state?
We don't start until I know the 6A starts on Friday. Now the 7A may play I think tomorrow. But the 6A I'm going up to watch one of my partners, Chris Bland, and the coaches at Columbia High School in Huntsville, Alabama. They'll be taking on the Hazel Green Trojans. As we know, Hazel Green has one of the top guards in the state, Kyra Lewis. Should be a good matchup. Right now, Columbia has lost to them twice. They're 0-2, lost by a total both games of 3 points. So that should be a good matchup. and also the matchup in the 6A Region 2, 6A Region Boys, the Austin Black Bears and the Muscle Shoals Trojans. That should be a good matchup. Lee Huntsville, that's my, you know, my feeder school. They play on Monday. Boys and girls play Monday. Boys at 10:30 and girls at 1:30, I think. But I'm looking forward to these playoffs, man. I'm looking at this 7A region. I just think 7A region is the quickest way to get there, man. I like it. You know, it's the quickest way to get out and the quickest way to get there. But I like that 7A region. I think you have more of a chance if you have a team that can play a little bit.
That is great to hear, because I had an opportunity with Coach Edwards up in the northern part of the state this past weekend. It was exciting to get a chance to go over to Lee High School and watch both the boys and girls participate. Saw some real good play out of both of the teams. And then we left and had a chance to go over to Decatur, to Austin High School, to see one of his partner, Chris Bladman, Columbia, played an outstanding game. So it's going to be very exciting. And we're going to keep you up to date and keep you up to par on what's happening, even on our show. When we come back next week, we're going to be talking more about those teams. But just some of the local teams that Coach Smith mentioned, in regards to right in the central part of Alabama. You have Sidney Lanier girls and boys, as well as Carver High School girls and boys. It's going to be participating in the South region. And everybody said, here you have it hosted at Alabama State, but they're in the central region, central area, but they travel to the South. So they're going to be competing on the 6A level. Also on the 7A level, we got Miguel Tulin down there who's doing real well. We also have another one of the members of our committee that work with the Alabama Sports Festival Foundation. That's a plug for them. And that's Darren Williams, and he coaches at Miguel Tulin. So they're going to be over there in the South region, as well as we have schools like J.F. Shields, Linden, Pleasant Home from down in that south part of the state. That's going to be competing on the 1A level. So we got some very exciting basketball in store. Like I said, you win or you go home now. There's no opportunity to lose and say you're going to come back tomorrow. You only had that opportunity in the area tournament, because when we got to the sub-region, you didn't have an opportunity to do that. So it's going to be some exciting basketball. So we look forward to watching these teams, being able to travel and see those teams play in those different venues. No, we want to applaud each of those venues, especially we're going to applaud Alabama State University, because they're part of our historical black college and university. You know, when people ask about why Talking Sports Plus, you know, because we always going to be a little different. We're going to bring you something way beyond the normal talking heads. And what we're going to bring is the historical black colleges, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're going to bring you that. So we're going to talk about those historical black colleges and universities that are hosting, that have the opportunity to host, and Alabama State University is one of them that have that opportunity. So we applaud that university for taking this stance. We really are happy to have those schools, as well as the other Jacksonville State, as well as Hansville, which is Wallace, which is a two-year college, community college. They're hosting up on that Northwest region, and as well as Dothan City Center. Let me make sure I said that right. So we'll make sure we share that, because it is a challenge to take on a tournament like this when you have teams coming in for all levels, 1A all the way to 7A. And from that point on, you're going to be having basketball. When they get started in Northwest, which is up there with what Coach Edwards is talking about, starting on Monday, they'll be rolling all the way through Saturday. They're starting now at Alabama State, and they're going to be rolling, because we have several other local teams that we want to make sure we mention that won the sub-region, particularly down in Lowndes County. You have Central High School of Lowndes County, or Hainville, will be playing. Their girls won the sub-region, so they beat Choctaw County, 90-47. So they're looking forward to playing. And I'm excited because before I retired a couple of years, 2 years ago, I was coaching these young ladies as middle school students. So I kind of know what they're capable of doing. And they ain't grown into them because most of them are 10th and 11th. Actually, they are all three levels of 9th, 10th, 11th. In 12th grade. So those kids are playing real hard and they look real promising. They will be over at Alabama State University playing over there. Also, we want to mention a school out of that northeast area, but they'll be playing down in the central region. And there's a couple of schools we want to talk about. We want to talk about Tallendale Central High School, and they'll be coming down to Montgomery playing in that 1A, as not mistaken, Winterburn as well. So we will applaud those schools for getting the opportunity to play and have an opportunity to participate. All right, team, just to take a minute, as we think about these teams that we know that are in this playoff, what teams do you think capable of, if not repeating, but having a great opportunity to be state champion this year?
I'm going to go ahead and go. I see coming out of this region right here, well, not really this region, but just teams I have seen play, I have to go ahead and say that I can see Carver not winning but getting to Birmingham. I can see them cruising through that southern region down in Dothan. Up on this central region for teams I have seen, well, of course, I just said Lee Girls probably will make it out. But the 7A boys is going to be on February the 20th. It'll be Auburn and Central Phoenix City. Now, those two teams just met like 2 weeks ago in the area championship. So that should be a good game. But I ultimately see Central Phoenix City, just because of how athletic they are, going to Birmingham. I don't see them winning at all in that 7A. I actually see Mound Brook taking that for the 7A. They're pretty sound, and they, in my opinion, they have probably the best guys in the state on their team. Central and Calhoun, I kind of see them getting knocked out of Alabama State. They have a good run. We all know Winona will probably be in there for 5A. Winona will probably be – girls will probably be the top team to beat girls-wise. Hazel Green probably be girls-wise 7A. Probably be the team to beat them and Hoover. Probably be the team to beat for 7A. So that's kind of all I got. Everything else is really beatable and winnable, in my opinion.
I got a question for y'all down in the Central region. How is the Charles Henderson girls doing?
Oh, let me and I. Yeah, go ahead on Laura. Go ahead on Laura.
Charles Henderson is a team where they have. They have probably one of the best big men in the state as a female. She's really good, and then they have a guard, and they play kind of like a two-man ball. So that'll probably be a tough matchup to come. I think Charles Henderson goes down to the South region. They're a good matchup. The girls are now. I haven't seen or heard about the boys, but I know the girls are probably the best matchup.
Okay.
Coach White, let me add into that. Coach Stallworth, as you know, he would have some definite information about Charles Henderson. Matter of fact, they came to Montgomery. When they came to Montgomery, Charles Henderson just kind of ripped through several teams. You know, they played Lanier, and they played Group Tech and a couple, if I'm not mistaken. And he was very high on them. He talks about them all the time. And that's one of our co-hosts, Coach Tony Stallworth. And they have that inside presence as well as that guard play. So they look to be the one that can advance to that level on the 5A. So they're kind of excited about that opportunity. Now, I can tell you down in the south part, but before I go on, I'm going to make sure we give you that call-in number, which is 347-857-4192. We need you to call in so you can join in the conversation We're excited about talking about high school sports. Yes, we are focusing on Alabama high school sports, and we're going to do the same thing as we look at some Florida and Georgia as well as some Mississippi on next week. We'll pull some thought process about what's going on there. So, you can add. Just call in to 347-857-4192. Coach Ellis.
Yes, sir. I'm talk about the teams that I see that should make a run. 7A, I'm agree with Lauren. I don't think anybody will mess with Bucky and Trendon Wofford. I don't see it. If Auburn is a threat in the Central Region, I don't see the Central Region being pretty strong. Auburn came up here and played in a Thanksgiving tournament, and I was looking like they just lost all their pieces from the year before. They just didn't look good at all to me. And it showed in that tournament they was getting beat to sleep every time they played. 6A is the toughest region to me. That's going to be a hard one to call. I don't know too much about teams coming out of Montgomery or the South down there, but up here, that is the toughest route. You have, like I said, you got Columbia, Hazel Green, Muscle Shoals, and Austin. So those are four premier teams up this way. So I think that will be one of the top areas in the championships. 5A, like Lauren said again, Winona girls and boys really impressed me this year. So, being in 5A with Lee Huntsville, I think they'll be our first test. We should run into them in Huntsville this week right here. So, next week. So, I will let y'all know by Wednesday. We play them on Wednesday. Well, we win Monday. We will run into them on Wednesday. So, I will be firsthand off the court for that show next Wednesday. So, I'm going to go with Lee boys, Lee girls in 5A. I go with my boy Chris Blandon in 6A and 7A. I'm going to go with Mountain Brook.
Okay. That's hey, outstanding.
You almost have to go with Mountain Brook. I don't see anybody beating them. I just don't. Nobody that fundamentally sound, especially coming out of the Central Region. Because what you got coming out of the Central Region, either Auburn or Central Phoenix City, and Auburn's not that good. Lee just broke down mentally against them. In Central Phoenix City, they just jumping all over you. They went into a tight game tonight with Jeff Davis, won at the buzzer. So they probably will. Mountain Brook probably seven that chance.
Okay. And we're looking at those, but we're gonna look at a little 3A. And let's look at some 3A boys. You have the returning champs, which would be Midfield. Now, if everybody kind of been keeping up with Midfield had a situation where they had to forfeit several games because a player, that's not a negative thing, it's negative because they had to forfeit and they didn't do what they're supposed to, but they still made it to the playoff. They still have the best team in 3A in regards to boys. So they have a great opportunity to return to Birmingham, then also Hillcrest of Evergreen is another school that's down going to be in the South region that'll have that opportunity to compete against Midfield. So even though Midfield forfeited those games, they still was able to not forfeit any game dealing with playing in the area tournament, because you could be 0-12 in the area tournament and win the championship. The way it's set up in basketball, you can win because everybody get a chance to play in the area. If you win your area, you host, and you go to sub-region, from sub-region to regional, from regional to state. So it doesn't matter. That season, like a second season, started when the area tournament started. So Midfield had to forfeit several games throughout the year, but that did not stop them from took them out of the areas. We did have a couple teams, which was Sumter County, Sumter Central was had to be removed from it, which was a team that was very strong with five returning starters from last year's team that went the distance last year. Then we had Macador, who also – so those are some teams that ran into some complications. They were not able to be in the tournament. But, you know, when we look at the ones that's in there, like in the 3A, you got midfield, and midfield looked very strong for the 3A. Just to talk a little bit about the 4A, since we talked about the 5A, we have to say, and these are boys. You have Monroe County. Monroe County has been very strong. They're going to be in that South region. They have always made it to either the final game, and they wasn't able to pull it off, but they're going back again this year. They're coming out the South region. Then you have Greensboro that's kind of strong. Then you have Madison Academy. And Coach Edwards will know about Madison Academy that's coming, going to be coming out of that east, that northeast, Madison Academy up there. They're playing real well. And we're talking about 4A now. And then you got just several other teams that are giving great competitive. Now, we're talking about girls. And it's on the boys' side as well, you have Monroe County in the 4A that's doing real well. It's playing real well. So we look forward to seeing them back again up there, as well as Madison Academy. So those are the teams that we look to see to compete and possibly win a national championship. I'm sorry, a state championship. I'm in a hurry to give them a national championship.
Can I interrupt you right there, Uncle Lo?
Yes.
Is Hillcrest Evergreen 3 or 4A?
3A.
I saw them up here. They played in the tournament at Huntsville High School, and they are pretty tough to be 3A. Like you said, they will be real tough in 3A because they're not a typical 3A school. They got 6'5s or 6'6", and they got a surplus of. So I seen them, and they look pretty good. So I like them in the 3A.
Okay, and that sounds great. Just to kind of add to a team that's in the 2A, let me add a little wrinkle to it. There's a team over there that won the state championship called Lynette. And Lynette lineup ranges, which is a one in football this year. Their receivers, one was 6'7", and the other receiver was 6'6", and both of those young men also stars in basketball. Their lineup runs that they had a 5'6", 5'7" guard, but everybody else is over 6 feet tall, and 6'3" and 6'4", plus that 6'7" and 6'6". So they won it last year, and I look to see them repeat in the boys division, and that's Lynette, which is just east of Auburn, Alabama, and they'll be competing in that northeast region. So we look to see them to be quite competitive as well. So those are just some breakdown of some of the schools in the high school division in the state of Alabama that's competing, that are now competing to move on to what they call the road to Birmingham. So we're going to just gonna keep you informed about exactly who's going on. Now, call in numbers again, 347-857-4192. All right, team, let's look at a recap of the Magic City Classic on the hardwood that happened last Saturday at Alabama A&M. Coach Edwards, you want to kind of share some thoughts? Because we both sit down and we watch that game. Can you share some thoughts in regards to that?
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts and concerns to the, you know, the Magic City on the hardwood. What I noticed about my school, Alabama A&M, there's a lot of stuff that's backwards that I didn't like. I didn't like the pep band showing up at halftime of the girls' game. I didn't like that. I think they should have been there before the game. I didn't like how Alabama State fans were louder than the Alabama A&M fans. I mean, it was a lot of stuff going on in that gym that was just unethical when I was at A&M. It would have never happened. But let's get to the hardwood. Alabama State just came in and took over. There's nothing else to be said about it. Alabama State executed. They played well. The girls were down not much, but they battled back. Frieda Freeman got them battled back and got a win. The boys, it was never close. It was never close. Coach Jackson just came in, like me and Dr. Smith were saying, I think Ross, the point guard over there, he shot a ball from almost half court, the first shot of the game, and Coach Jackson pointed at the bench. And me and Dr. Smith laughed when that happened. It was funny because he told me, you shoot that shot again, you're going to be sitting, you know, over here on this bench. But, you know, it never got close enough for Coach Jackson to even sweat in that game. I just think we just got – we were outman and outmatched, man. I don't know what else to say. If there's a Bulldog fan on the line, call in and let us know what you think about that game, man. But if it was up to me, we were just outman and outmatched on the boys' side. The girls did have a chance.
And that's great. Coach Smith, you want to kind of add something? I know you wasn't at the game, but you got in the thought process about ASU and Alabama A&M and now competitive hardwood on the Magic City Hardwood Classic?
I kind of knew this game was going to go this way. I kind of knew it wasn't going to be close for the boys' game. I told them it was a rival game. I tried to tell you it wasn't going to be close. The girls' game, I mean, that game probably could have went either way. I don't see a separation between them, those two teams, to be totally honest with you. But I kind of knew the boys' game was going to be that big of a gap in the scoring column. Wasn't that many makes? Who's more missed over there on A&M side? So I kind of thought that was going to happen. So that's all I have for that one.
And it had some excitement, but the excitement came in the boys' game. And as I was sitting there with Coach Edwards, I said, Coach Edwards, are the fans ever going to make it? And it may have been from the start, the first game, which was the girls' game, it was probably more ASU student ASU individuals there than may have been A&M because they brought a couple busload of students up there. Then, like, the fans drove with them. Even though the record's not the greatest record, whenever that classic is going on, whether it's on the hardwood or whether it's on the football field, even on the baseball field, there's fans that come in the baseball diamond. The fans still come out and they support and they cheer for their team. So we wanted to address that issue where we said that don't sit and talk about what they can, what they cannot do. Buy a ticket, put your meat in the seat. And a lot of the ASU individuals came, they was there. Then finally the crowd, like, they had to get ready, but when they came in, the A&M crowd came in. But as Coach Edwards said about the band probably showed up, like he said, and started up the second game. And they didn't have their spirit, and it wasn't. But you know what? That's all about the pageantry. Sometimes it bees like that, but we can't give up. We got to be very supportive of our historical black colleges and universities. So we're going to say hurrah to both schools that was competitive, even though it wasn't like – as Coach Edwards said, it wasn't like it should have been, but they played on the hardwood, so now they can get ready to get themselves focused on the other sports and activities that occur. But we also know we're coming up as we move forward to the SWAC tournament, which is going to come in the first or second week of March to get ready for March Madness. So we're winding down. We're about to wrap it up. Now, again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And before we move on, you know, today is February the 14th, and it's Happy Valentine's Day. To all our listeners, we're going to say Happy Valentine's Day on behalf of Talking Sports team members. We hope you received everything you were looking for on Valentine's Day, whatever gift or whatever was promised to you that you received. But besides that, we want to just give praise to our Lord and Savior for allowing us to see another day. So, again, happy Valentine's Day on behalf of our team. Okay, team, let's kind of look at moving to the NCAA March Madness Tournament. They had a ranking that came out, the first ranking of the top four seeds for each bracket or region. And can we get some talk, get some thought process about that? I know one particular team locally was ranked as the top second seed team, and that's Auburn University. Matter of fact, supposed to play tonight in this crossover situation they have. Can we share some thoughts on that first ranking that came out? My team still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Go ahead, Laura.
All right, okay.
I was about to ask them to run the rankings down because I had it. Who did they have? Who did they have as a number one seed? It was Villanova. Somebody, I forgot. Oh, I'm talking about Villanova. They just lost to Providence. It was Villanova. It was somebody else. I don't like this new system. I think it's really bogus. You're ranking teams before we even get into tournament play. You're ranking teams too early. I really don't like it, so I really haven't paid much attention to it because I just don't think you should rank them this early because a one seed could ultimately lose out for the rest of the season. Just as I'm not saying Villanova might lose out the rest of the season. I'm just saying they just lost a few seconds ago. So they're a one seed and they continue to lose. Are they still going to be a one seed when you have a team like Auburn? If they don't lose anymore, is Auburn going to move up to a one seed? If Duke don't lose anymore, would Duke move up? I just don't like it. But I know one of the teams, Villanova, and I really don't agree with Villanova. I don't agree with nobody being a one seed right now because Giannis.
Okay. I'll just kind of add what the rankings are showing is you got Virginia ranked number one. You have Michigan State ranked number two. You have Villanova ranked number three. And you have Xavier ranked number four. That's in the rankings on NCAA basketball, the top four. As you said, there's a loss by Villanova. May knock them down, it might not. But the number one team that's ranked at this point is Virginia. And they got 30 of the first-place votes. Michigan State, they have 21 of the first-place votes, as well as Villanova had 9 and Xavier. Now, in the second six, you got Cincinnati, who was fifth. Purdue is sixth. Texas Tech is seventh. Ohio State is eighth. Gonzaga is ninth. And Auburn is number 10. However, Auburn is ranked as the top second seed team. And their record at this time is 22-3, and they play in Kentucky tonight, and if I'm not mistaken, in Auburn. So that's going to be an exciting game. So, you know, we just want to kind of look at exactly just the top 10 to kind of see that if they created an 18, which is two ranking, first and second, as Coach Smith was saying, Villanova just lost. So it's way too early. We probably need to wait another week or two and talk about that. Coach Everett, unless you want to add something else about it.
They always going to name hot teams. Right now, Auburn is a hot team. So them being a two seed, I can't say that won't happen because they're a real hot team. Another hot team is Michigan State. They're starting to get it going now. They're starting to roll. Virginia up there, but they're in the ACC. You know, like Lauren said, anything can happen. But Auburn and Michigan State, I think, will be top-tier teams in this year's tournament. Even though Auburn is sitting at a two right now, I think they can slide into a one very easily. Very easily. With a win tonight and a couple more down the road, I think they can slide right on to a one seed, man. That's all I got for you. But I like Michigan State, though.
Okay. And let me ask you, what do you think about the other state team, which is Alabama? I think they had them ranked as a seven seed or something like that. Do you have any thought in regards to that?
Go ahead, Lo.
That's a good ranking for Bama. I'm gonna tell you why, because Bama hasn't gotten as hot as they actually can. That's the whole thing. We haven't seen the best Alabama team show up yet. That's my whole thing with them. A lot of people say they're young. They are young, and they rely a lot of their scoring on young guys. So those young guys get in the flow of SEC play, just get in the flow of playing consistently like that. In my opinion, that should easily be a 4-seed team. A 7 is a little too low. I would put a team like Kentucky or Duke at a 7. I wouldn't put a team like Alabama because Alabama hasn't got hot yet.
Okay. All right. All right, just to kind of add to it there, the score reading now on the ticker tape about Kentucky and Auburn. Auburn is leading the game to 6 minutes and 47 seconds to go in the first half. They're leading the game. Auburn's ranked number 10 and score is 22-16. So they're playing at Auburn, so Auburn's ahead in this game so far. Just like we are talking about other teams that are ranked, that lost today, which is Florida State beat number 11, Clemson, 81-79. So I think the ranking, as it was said earlier, is way too early. So we kind of like we're talking about it because it'll get a little bit more clear in the next few weeks. And like I say, Auburn is a hot team now. They continue to win. They have Kentucky tonight and have Alabama on Saturday. So that'll be you talking about the Iron Bowl at Auburn on the hardwood. So that's going to be something to be talked about because if Auburn continue to win tonight, and they're going to be going in with only the 3 losses. And Alabama's one of the teams that beat them. And Alabama's, I think, at times is playing great when they're at home. But when they get on the road, it seems like a different ball club. Okay. All right. Again, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let's look at what teams from the historical black colleges and universities have the best chance to make the tournament. Team, we want to look at those teams that we think may have the best chance of making the tournament.
We all know in the SWAC, Texas Southern will be amongst those teams. Me yet, I really don't know. Haven't been following them much. But we know Texas Southern will be amongst those teams to be in the NCAA tournament. They always prepare for that.
Yeah, Texas Southern is my pick, too. Coach Edwards said, they're prepared for it. They've been there, two or three years in a row now. They're just that team in the flag. We're talking about an NCAA tournament team. They're the most prepared, I believe. So, yeah, that would be a good shoe-in for it. MEAC, I really don't know. Conference, in my opinion, is really one that nobody's ever that good in that conference. Anybody can lose in any given day in that conference.
All right, and just kind of add about the MEAC have a couple teams at North Carolina Central and North Carolina A&T that's playing real well right now. In the past, Central has had an opportunity to get it in, I think, about 3 years ago. They actually defeated from a 14 slot. They beat one of the third-ranked team. They beat the third-ranked team, so that was something good, and they're doing some things real positive during that year. Now, this year, those teams are competing real hard. They're at the top of their standings, and we'll kind of wait till everything shake up in regards to that. All right, now, the last thing we want to kind of look at is we want to discuss the NCAA denying Notre Dame appeal to reinstate wins from the 2012 and 13 football season. If you remember, that was the year Notre Dame was undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, and they played Alabama. And I think Alabama kind of had their way with them. So we want to talk about they tried to appeal the wins that they end up losing because of some NCAA violation. And we just want to try to get some thought process on Notre Dame football team of this, from 2012 and 13 appealing the ruling by the NCAA. Even though it was denied, let's kind of talk about some things related to that.
I'm going to go at it like this. I feel like if I didn't win a championship, I mean, what am I appealing wins for? That's how I feel with that situation. Now, if I had won a championship, I would appeal wins, but I didn't win a championship, so why am I appealing wins? I probably would have told on myself, looking at the violations that we had as a team, if we didn't win the championship, because it's nothing at stake. They're talking about wins, but I wouldn't be concerned about those wins. If I did something that allocates you taking my games, I mean, they deserve to be took. But if I didn't win the championship, I don't understand what am I appealing.
Same thing I was going to say. I didn't understand why they were appealing either. It's not like they had won the national championship. So them appealing was really a waste of their paper and their time. I didn't understand it when they said they were going to appeal, and I'm very glad that he got denied. It really wasn't – it didn't make any sense to me. Y'all appealing wins. Where did they go? 11-0, 12-0? But you didn't win the championship, so what's the point? You're still this is what I don't understand. It's a lot. You're still gonna remember that you went undefeated. You still gonna tell your kids, the fans still gonna tell their kids about the season that we went undefeated. Nobody's ever gonna tell the bad, they're always gonna tell the good. So in my opinion, it's in the records that all your wins were vacated. So what are we doing? Why are we wasting our time with this? I didn't understand it when it happened. I kinda don't understand it now.
Exactly. And my thought process about that is they want it to be in the record books. That's the only thing I can see being in the record book. We had this discussion back in 17 in one of our first shows. We talked about this, and it was talking about schools was vacating wins, but nothing was done by the loss. So, in essence, they trying to get the wins back so it can keep it in the record book saying they was 12-0, but got sort of like slaughtered in that championship game by the University of Alabama. And everybody was saying, well, they was just 12-0 and didn't play anybody, but they was violating the NCAA rules. So now you come back 5-6 years later talking about we want to appeal and get our wins back so we can put it in the record book. Is that really, really worth us taking a whole lot of time? NCAA has some other issues that they have to deal with, and we're going to just talk about two of those issues. And then I really want your thought in regards to if it was another type of coach or person, and I don't want to get too far-fetched going, in regards to Michigan State. We know the situation that's being discussed with Nasser. Dr. Larry Nasser, and then the president resigned, the athletic resigned, and now some of your renowned coaches, the top coaches up there, are being addressed and said, what do they know? Just like the situation at Ole Miss, which eventually, if they hadn't caught this, the Hugh Freeze with messages to some kind of sex parlor, would have been fired, really been fired. So, what I want you to look at, team, I want you to think about if the African-American head coach would have the same level of support staying on the job like what's happening at Michigan State with those head coaches, or eventually with Hugh Freeze until he decided to, you know, when he got caught with that, then he was – but before they was going to keep him, do African-American head coaches, the very few we have in the position, do they have that same opportunity? And I want us to share some thoughts about that.
So the question we're asking, what thoughts would be on them guys if they were African-American Dr. Smith.
Exactly, because pretty much, you know, Hugh Freeze didn't resign until it came out about that, the calls he was making on the phone. You know, before you had the other situation where the money was being offered and everything, but they still, the university supported him. They was going to keep him. Now, as you know, the university, I don't know, are they supporting Tom Izzo, the football coach? But would it be the same if they were African American coaches?
We all know the answer to that. It would not be the same. I mean, that's just law. I mean, we're not on the same playing field when that comes. I look at Sumlin at Texas A&M, man. I mean, this man didn't have bad years to me. I don't understand why they got rid of him. I look at your coach from that was at Texas. He just came in with a Charlie Strong.
Yeah, Charlie Strong.
He came in with a hand that just couldn't get together. I think if he had kept staying there, I think he would have eventually won. But you have to have players to win in NCAA football. But like you said, if they had been dealt the hand of Hugh Freeze and some of these other guys that I say the coach from that's at Louisville right now. What's his name?
Bobby Petrino.
Petrino. Looking at the situation he was in, we would have been gone the next day. It wouldn't even been a case or anything, allegations. It wouldn't have been. You need to go find you another job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, if Charlie Strong, I didn't understand why he left either. But let's just say if you put Charlie Strong in the situation that Rick Pitino was in. With the first time Rick Pitino got caught in this what they call a sex scandal, where God knows what was going on down there. If that was Charlie Strong, he would have never got the opportunity for the FBI investigation over whether he was paying players, if he knew about the paying of players or not. He would have been gone after the sex scandal. So I do think race plays a big factor in things of that nature. So I would say if it was an African-American coach, so if it was somebody that was at Alabama State and this happened, or Alabama A&M or Texas Southern and this happened, I do believe that they would be gone without questions asked, without investigation actually being thoroughly brought upon. I do believe that they'll be fired.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. And that's my and I'm going to kind of wrap it up on this, because we're getting close to our ending time here, closing of the show. I would say that we're sometimes not dealt the same hand that some of the other our counterparts are dealt, especially if not. That's why a lot of our coaches head coaches at historical black colleges and universities. We're not given the opportunity at some of our traditional schools. We have very few, but if any allegation come out, we would immediately be released without any question. If that thought of a player taking money at Mississippi State, Hugh Freeze and the university may have stepped up and may not, but I don't think they would have, and that's what my co-hosts are saying, that they probably wouldn't have stepped up for those individuals that have been fired. The situation at Michigan State, whether you know, or we can go back to Penn State, we will be almost blackballed and never have a job again. So fairness should be there, but sometimes it's not there. Even with the NFL, with the hiring of John Gruden at, there is a Rooney Rule in that they must interview an African-American. But they already said they already wanted to hire him, but everybody else was looked at, but they didn't get an interview. But that's a discussion that we're going to have at our next show. And we just want you to leave you with that thought. Now, if you didn't get a chance to call in, you know, just remember that our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And when you want to go back and listen to the show, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberta Smith production. And from that point, you can go and look at today's day show, but it'll be listed as the next day, which is tomorrow. It'll be ready to be posted tomorrow, so you can check it out. Yes, we're missing our two of our co-hosts, but you know, be with us next week for sure. But I really thank the two co-hosts that was here tonight, Coach Edwards and Coach Smith. They stood up. They stood tall, and I always appreciate what they're doing. But we're about to close the show now. Coach Edwards and Coach Smith, you want to leave some thought with these individuals and our listeners?
Yes. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us tonight. Like Coach Smith said, we're kind of shorthanded, but we're going to make it do what it do, baby. Y'all tune in, man. Tune in next week, man. I think we'll be full strength next week. Full strength next week. Good show. Good show tonight, guys.
Awesome.
Coach Lauren Smith here. Continue to pray for people down in the South Florida area. I'm going to tell you guys, just be safe. Stay safe. If you see something, say something. Don't look right. Please go to your nearest official. Do not be scared to speak up against actions that seem unjust. Support your local high school team. So we have Lee girls playing next Tuesday for sure. Carver, both boys and girls. Lanier, both boys and girls, down in Dalton Friday. If you have the opportunity, please go and support your teams. Also, baseball and softball is gearing up around the state. So we're going to go ahead and go out and support those guys and those girls. Track and field as well. AAU summer travel ball is gearing up. So find things for kids to do. Don't let them sit at home and do nothing. Be easy for the rest of the week.
That's awesome, awesome. Just kind of wrap it up. We want to say tomorrow our Talking Real to You show will be aired at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. The call-in number is 347-857-4192, and we'll be talking about just playing life issues. That'll be the father and daughter team, which will be Coach Lauren D. Smith and myself as the host. And we're going to bring it to you tomorrow. We got an outstanding guest that's going to be with us, Coach DeAndre Evans of Booker T. Washington Magnet High School. He's going to interview with us in regards to coaches versus cancer. So we say thank you for joining and listening to us tonight. We look forward to talking with you next week at the same time. As my co-host, Coach Stallworth, said, take the day, don't let the day take you. I would say grind and grind, pound and grind. That's what we want to do, hashtag that, and we want to communicate for understanding. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to talking with you again next week. Good night.
This is how we do it.